Welcome. Jess and I have no idea what to do with our hands because GarageBand was not working and the mics were not hooking up right.
So we improvised.
And luckily, I'm a woman in STEM. That's what I like to say.
What does that mean?
Science, technologies, medicine, electronics.
E-medicine.
So I can figure it out. And I am a videographer. I have audio equipment. And hopefully this works. If not, you guys are going to hear about it on Instagram. And we're going to say,
sorry for the poor quality.
Yeah. I mean, it should be good quality. These are expensive mics.
We gave it a go. We gave it our best shot. And maybe the YouTube community can still enjoy.
I know. I think Jess and I, we might need to replace our mics. But we're getting a new podcast studio here soon, so.
Yeah. We're moving in.
Moving into the old Wadsworth abode.
The Worth. I know. I can't wait to freaking move. I don't know. It just seems like I've been waiting a long time. And it is a longer time than most people would have to wait to move. But I was like, oh, it'll fly by with the holidays. But I feel like
it's time.
It is time.
It's time.
It's time to get the fuck out of there. I'm just excited to have my own space with Joe and
just
be proud of that. Just relish in the success of that.
Hey, relish and mustard in it. Okay? I will. But you guys, happy Honda days, you know? Merry Toyota-thon to you.
Yeah.
We do realize that this is coming out more in the New Year's Eve realm, but we really weren't thinking about that. We were just like, end of December, December episode, post-Christmas. So you'll get our reflective New Year's episode next week.
Yeah, I do look forward to that because I don't know if it weren't for this podcast, would I really sit down and go through it?
I'm moving this mic and we might get a little rustling, but I figure I talk to you, so I should put it on this side. Sense.
Should I do the same?
I don't know.
I think it's close enough to me.
We'll see. We're new here.
But yeah, I do look forward to that episode. Like I said, I feel like I don't know if I would sit down and reflect if I weren't forced to share it with you guys. So I do look forward to that, and I am excited because we've called it 2023 Year of Change.
Year of Change. And this year has ended in full bullshit fashion. 2022 Year of Bullshit. Where's the t-shirts?
Can I preface with what I received if we go into this
story? Sure, Jess. You tell the story from your very limited perspective because I haven't given you the full rundown.
Right. So I am just enjoying a regular day.
A Christmas Eve day,
preparing for the festivities. And I get a Snapchat from this girl over here, Rach, and she is strapped in to an ambulance, the back of an ambulance, strapped in, harnessed in. And it's just a video of like her kind of like rustling around in the back of it. And just a straight ass face with the caption saying 2022 Year of Bullshit. Or it's like 2020 Year of Bullshit Continues or something. Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck happened to you? And she didn't reply in Snap. So I texted her and I said, what the fuck is going on? And from there, you could take it away.
Yeah. Did I send you the picture?
Well, then she sent me a picture of the total RAV4.
Yeah.
And said.
So if you've been in, I think most places in North America have been pretty rough this past week or two. But we've had like basically just like wet weather and then a serious cold front, like negative 20 wind chill. Like it was bad. And it was known that it was going to be bad on the 23rd and it was going to continue to be cold. And I don't know, in my head, I'm thinking normally Ohio, it takes them one full day to get their shit together, right? And then it's like, then the roads are salted. We get through, right?
I thought Ohio would be more well prepared for this event because it's nothing new to us. But I think it kind of was extreme in that it rained, froze over, got really fucking cold.
Yeah, snowed.
So the salt really wasn't doing its job.
No, and it wasn't doing its job. And I didn't go anywhere on Friday the 23rd. I have carried, and I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, just like a little bit of driving anxiety while pregnant. Like I'm taking back roads, okay? I'm not going because it's like if I get into a car crash, I don't want it to be a high-speed collision. It's like if I spin out on the road, let it be at 35 miles an hour. And, you know, not that there's any good way to get in a car crash, but, you know, that's my logical anxiety brain. trying to work it out. But I decided to offer these like flyby mini sessions for Christmas, like when everybody's together. And of course, the only session I had on New Year's Eve was in Rocky River, which is like
Christmas Eve.
Yeah, Christmas Eve was in Rocky River, which is almost an hour away. So I'm, you know, getting ready. We had to like shovel the driveway, do everything. Like, and I'm talking to the client, and you know, we pushed it back a couple hours, you know, to make sure like the roads were like had gotten on top of. And so like I didn't have to like wake up super early to like, you know, shovel all that. So I'm got my coat on, got my shoes on, about to leave, and I say, "Hey babe, I'm feeling a little anxious about this drive. Do you want to drive me?" And he really was like, "Okay." Like he didn't want to. Well, what he said is, "I'm not getting out of the car." So
fair enough.
My beloved husband slips on his Birkenstocks and socks, and we just get in the car and we go. And we're literally like a couple miles from our house, and he was just like, "Oh, had I known I was driving you, we could have taken the Mazda," which is his brand new car that he loves. And I was like, "Josh, if we get an accident, what car do you want to get an accident in? The RAV4?"
You said that out loud.
Yes. The RAV4 or the Mazda. I said that out loud.
Oh my God.
Because that's where my mind is. My mind is always like, yeah. You can get
worst
an accident.
Worst case scenario.
And I can't tell you how many times I've Googled like seatbelt placement for pregnant bellies, like what do you do? Like where should you be? And obviously, like, the most dangerous position for a pregnant person to be in the car is the driver's seat because your airbag is in your...
Closer to your face.
Yes.
Closer to your body.
Closer to your body. So that's why when I'm feeling anxious, I like him to drive because I'm like, if we do get an accident, you'll be the driver. I'll be in the passenger seat, you know? And I always have one hand on my stomach. You know, we're just talking. We're up in Cleveland. We're less than 10 minutes away from this client's house. We're on I-90. And the roads don't look bad. Like, we're up through Independence. None of this means anything to anyone that doesn't live here. And the roads seem fine, you know, for the most part. Everybody's going a little bit under the speed limit, you know. No one's acting crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we're good. We're doing society's job. You know, we're driving for the holidays, which is stupid. But we're going to get
everyone's
there.
Everyone's fine.
Until we are in the leftmost lane. Like, not trying to pass anyone, just, you know, spreading.
Cruising.
And there is a, like, red, we've been calling it a Le Sabre, and I don't know if that's right, but it's an older car, like, you know, Buick Ford okay. equivalent, like, the long, long boys.
Boats. Essentially.
Yes. I had a Buick Regal, and it was a cruise liner.
Very
comfortable.
My friend had a Taurus, like an older uh-huh. Taurus, and it was like, oh no, yeah, yeah. He had an old Taurus, and he called it the Clitoris.
The Clitoris.
And it was great.
Yes.
Tried and true boat.
Yeah. You know that car had gotten that woman through some stuff. But that car also probably needed some new tires because in the middle of I-90, which is like a 3 or 4 lane highway.
Like going straight and all of a sudden.
Yeah, she was in either the right or the middle lane. Like we weren't paying attention until we saw her spinning just in the middle of the highway. And at first she starts to go right and then overcorrects. And we just see, and it's the trajectory. And Josh and I are just like, and this made me like cry in the hospital because Josh was like, "Rachel, I looked over and the last thing I see is you going like this." Over your stomach. Like I just full like hulked over my stomach and just like sat back and was like, this is it. And it's weird in those moments when it's like you think you'll have a thought. Like I always thought, like, you know, if a plane's going down, if I'm getting in a car crash, I'm gonna look at Josh and like say something profound. Nothing went through my head.
No.
Nothing went through my head other than
yeah.
Just protect.
Yeah. embrace yourself.
Yeah. Because,
I mean, I've been in an accident before, too. And it's, you know what's happening.
Yeah.
You know what's happening seconds before it happens. So you either tense up, which is what you're not supposed to do, or like you brace yourself for the impact.
Right.
And so why, of course, you would protect your baby.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, my God. And that's like what I'm worried about. So like, and I remember I like just adjusted my seatbelt because they say like put it underneath your bump. Mm-hmm. Like you don't want it on your bump because if you get an accident, it'll pull and crank. So I'm not a professional, but top tip, I guess. And you know, you just, someone said to me like, I saw your air brakes went off. How'd that feel? I'm like, no idea.
Yeah.
I was not feeling anything but fear.
Yeah.
And even then it was kind of more just like numbness and shock. So like, you know, we've come to a stop. A
terrible feeling.
We come to a stop and Josh actually turned the car back on thinking it was still on because like it's a push start.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Literally the car automatically like stopped and was put into park. Mm-hmm. Like when we hit the crash.
And you have no idea you do that.
No. Yeah. None. Zero. And so he gets out and, I mean, luckily Josh really didn't panic when it was happening because, you know, what would have been worse is if he tried to get around it, hit another car and it
flipped or something.
Yeah. We flipped or something or, you know, got dozens of other vehicles involved. Like it's amazing that we were on a major highway and it was just two people, just two cars.
Did you go to check the other?
So, Josh did. Yeah. So when he got out of the car, he got me out. He's like, baby, we need to get out. Like it's smoking in here. Which was the airbags going off, but right. Who knows that at the time. And I'm like, where's my phone? Like stupidly, the first thing I think of was like, I need to tell these clients, like, I'm not coming. And I did. And like, I do not know these people at all.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, hi, sorry, got an accident. I'm in shock. I can't come. Mm-hmm. I have to go to the hospital. I'm 34 weeks pregnant, mm-hmm. you know? But then he goes up to the woman's car and she's like knocked out. Like he can see that she's like moving a little bit, but like her.
Where did you hit her?
So we hit her like driver's side front wheel. Mm. And then she spun and actually her back taillight hit my door. So, like, we hit her, and then she hit us, and then came to a stop somehow.
Did anyone else stop?
Luckily, there was a car. Of course, we didn't get their name or their phone number or anything. Because it's negative 20 outside.
Yeah, fucking freezing.
It is very cold, and you can't be in your cars, obviously. And we piled in this woman's backseat of her car and waited for emergency services to show up, and it took forever. Like over 30 minutes for fire and then another 20 minutes for police and then another 30 minutes or so.
Which probably felt like a lifetime in that moment.
It actually didn't. Like I think I was just so like when Josh got me out of the car, the panic sets in of like the baby. And I'm like, you know, because it's like when you're pregnant, you don't feel your child 24/7. Which is normal. And I have not been doing kick counting or any of that bullshit because I will drive myself up a wall. And actually, I told you this. 2 days before the accident, Josh and I actually went up to labor and delivery because I was having some cramping. And she was overly active in a way that I was like, you Google it. You Google something and Google will tell you that your baby's dying and that you need to worry about it. And I knew I shouldn't, but I looked up like increased fetal movement and they're like, could be a sign that your babies just ate something they liked. Also could be a sign that the umbilical cord is wrapped around their neck and they're in distress.
Oh, God. It's like, do you have, I don't know. I feel like they needed like a hotline for pregnant people.
So I called the nurse's line. I didn't go in. I was I called the nurse's line because I was like, maybe these cramps are like Braxton Hicks. Maybe she's getting into position. I just wanted someone to tell me like, oh, yeah, honey, don't worry. Mm-hmm. But they don't tell you that. They say, I know. Better safe than sorry.
It was just the worst.
It is the worst.
But it's like, how can they know? No one can know until you see it. Right. So.
But everything was fine. And really what I think happened that day was she actually got head down. So she flipped. Mm-hmm. So she was doing a lot of movement for like 1 to 2 hours, mm-hmm. just like
trying to
cruising.
Get
and my cramping and like pain in my vagina was because she's like, now her head is in my pelvis.
Yeah.
Which is where she's supposed to be. So, you know. So I'd just been already at the hospital, you know, knowing she's in the right position and all that. So when we were in the backseat of the stranger's car before the fire department showed up, she got the hiccups, which she gets a lot. So I was like, okay. And I looked at Josh. I was like, she's got the hiccups. She's still moving. She's okay. But you're still like fucking terrified. And, you know, we go to the ambulance, it was just a lot. And okay. So what happened is fire department picks us up and puts us in the back of the truck. The woman that we hit has either dislocated her shoulder, broken her clavicle. Like, you can't tell. She's got like a couple layers on it. No one's about to take them off of her because she's in excruciating pain. And we're in the back of this fire truck. And this woman looks at me and she's distraught. You know, she's like in her 40s. She's so upset. And she's like, honey, can you please text me to let me know that you and the baby are okay? Because I lost a baby this way when I was younger. And I just, I would never forgive myself. And I just am like,
why would she say that to
me? Why would she say that to me is my main question. Because she's in shock and is just so emotional. She's losing it. Like, she knows that the accident is like, you know, I mean, her fault.
I know. But it's really like, obviously it was an accident. Accident's an accident. Yeah.
Nobody was.
Did it on purpose.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't know if she was texting and driving. I can't say anything like that. She, you know, her car spun out in the middle of the highway.
You saw it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You watched it all happen. And it's like.
Yeah. And we hit
the clitoris lost control.
It did. And it. And we found it.
Yeah.
We put it in control. We put a stop to it. My mom, when I called her, because it's so weird calling people when you just went through something like that. Because it's like, mom, we got an accident. And I'm like, I like turn around when I'm calling her and I see my car and I'm like, my car. Oh my God. Like, entire front's out. My windshield is shattered.
From what I hear of your guys' story of like how you guys feel and like no injuries, like, okay, spoiler alert, guys, everyone's okay.
Yeah, everyone's
okay. We haven't got to that point.
Yeah.
Baby, Josh and Rachel are okay. But when you see the car, it looks like they're in from what they say. They're like, everyone's okay. It felt crazy in the moment, but like the car looks absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
So it like looks a lot worse than it probably felt. Not that I can say because I wasn't there, but like, judging by no injuries and you guys just having like minor bruising from airbags and seatbelts, it's like, I would say that like you guys are extremely lucky.
Yeah.
The damage is done.
You know, there's no reality where my next car is not another SUV. There's no reality really, probably that it's not a Toyota. We trauma bonded in that moment. But yeah, we're in fire truck and they are like, we don't know if EMS is coming, guys. It's a crazy day. Can we drop you at the get-go and you guys get your own ride to the hospital?
Wow.
I was like, we could not have chosen a worse day to get in a car accident.
Yeah.
Like, clearly. But then EMS shows up, like, right after. We're like, okay, thank God. And then we all ride. This woman and me and Josh are all in one ambulance going to the hospital together. Yeah, like, there are no rules.
Yeah.
It is just carnage. No rules, just carnage. Just, they're trying. And I'm like, how do they even build an ambulance if you shared it with someone?
Yeah. Do we split the bill?
Hopefully.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, we get to the hospital. And again, like, I just feel like there's no rules. Like, the EMTs do not say like, hey, wait for us, we'll walk you in. They're just like, we're here. So Josh gets out of the car. He gets me out. You know, he's just like, he's not being treated. He's like, I don't need to be treated. I'm fine. Like, let's just like worry about the baby. And that's how I am too. I'm like, but I am part, I'm carrying the baby. So I have to be monitored. And it feels like a scene from Grey's Anatomy that I have never experienced. We walk in the doors and there are 20 doctors and nurses just like staring. And we take a couple steps forward and we're like, where do we go? Like, what do we do? And they're like, are you the pregnant girl that was in the accident? And I'm like, yes. And they're like, oh, this way. They're like, where are the EMTs? I'm like, I don't fucking know. They're back there.
Oh my gosh. Because isn't it, I mean, from Grey's Anatomy, the EMTs come in and they give the doctors and nurses saying,
Here's your blood pressure.
Age, female, pregnant, Bob.
I just walked in on my own feet.
You're like, I guess I am capable of giving you that information as well. So.
And so they usher me into this room. They're like, we need you to take your clothes off. Here's a gown. And there's like, I'm doctor this. I'm resident here. I'm doing this. I'm here with trauma. I'm here with, you know, nursing. And then it's finally like, hi, I'm doctor so-and-so. I'm here with OB. And I'm like, you're all I care about. And they're putting me on this thing. They're putting a neck brace on me. You know, they're getting the gel on my belly. It's like, I'm full bush out because they tell me to take my clothes off. And I'm like, also, I need people, if you work in any sort of medical field, if you work in even massaging, when you say take your clothes off, can you specify?
What clothes?
Are you expecting to see my vagina or not?
Yeah, I need to know.
Are you prepared for my bush or no?
Yeah, I need to know because I can't see you startled when you walk in.
Right. And then there was one lady, like, they gave me a gown, I put it on, and there was, like, some, like, paper clip on there that she couldn't get off. So then while all these people are checking my eyes, checking my ears, you know, asking me 100 questions, putting jelly on my belly, checking the baby, there's this one random resident that's just trying to change my robe because there was metal on it. And I'm like, what is going on?
So you were fully nude?
Yeah, for a minute. But I actually kept my bra on.
That's good. You're like, what do you need my nipples for?
What do you need my nipples for? Okay, I don't know. But I was like, I feel a draft down there. And there are quite literally like 15 to 20 doctors just staring, watching, learning.
Stop with the full book. In that moment, you really don't care.
You really don't
but
care.
Looking but looking back, you're like, wow, well, that was a lot of people in a room with one bush.
Yeah, but Josh was like, in reflection, I think they wanted your bra off and your underwear could have stayed on.
And I'm like, dead. Oh my. Hey. But also, like, you didn't know if they needed to, like, go up to see anything, type of ultrasound. Who knew?
Exactly. And I think I was thinking OB-wise, it's like...
You're going in.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
And OB, you have full permission.
Yeah. But when OB was there and they were checking the baby. Also, if you work in OB, I don't know if there is some sort of, like, rule that you have to wait 30 seconds to tell someone that their baby's still, heart's still beating.
Oh, my...
But that is
Isn't it hooked up to the monitor? Can't you hear it?
They turn it off a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I never want to be the one to ask, like, is she okay?
Why though?
Well, I don't want to, like, interrupt what they're doing, I guess. Like, if it had taken longer than 30 seconds, but they're like, her heart's still beating. She seems to be doing good, you know, like, and I was like, oh my God. And Josh is just like, I can't even see him because my head's in a neck brace, but he is just like holding my stuff, like, in this seat, like,
with Birkenstocks and socks.
Birkenstocks and socks, soaking wet socks.
Oh my God.
Like, it was a lot. And then I was cleared from the trauma team because I didn't have any, like, you know, broken bones or, you know, I had, like, bruising on my knees and, you know, whatever. But they got me up into the OB floor to be monitored for 24 hours.
So you spent Christmas in the hospital.
I spent Christmas Eve and Christmas in the hospital. Which I was glad for. Honestly, I needed to know that she was going to be. Because the risk was, like, any, like, detachment of my placenta, early labor, just, like, anything from the stress. Which is why, like, really when we were waiting for services, like, and to get to the hospital, I just zoned out. I was like, I'm keeping my heart rate down. I'm keeping calm. I'm just waiting until I get to the hospital to have any sort of breakdown because the stress is not going to help the situation at all. So that's what I did. And let me tell you, if you have to be monitored at a hospital with your baby that moves, it is not comfortable. I had to be one on my back, which, like, the weight of my stomach on my lower back is so uncomfortable. But as soon as I would try to move, she'd get off the monitor and they would just come in. So I got a couple hours of sleep sitting up, plane style, you know, just was like
plane style.
Plane style. That's what it was like.
Airplane mode.
like this. This is quite literally me, like.
Which means your head goes back, and no matter what, when you're sleeping on a plane, your jaw always opens.
Yeah.
Which was kind of nice with masks. You're like, no one can see my open mouth sleep right now.
Yeah. And I'm not going to get chronic dry mouth as bad as I would.
Right. Well.
Wow.
Right.
And then Laura and Aaron came to get us the next day. They signed me off with a cervical check, which are the worst, truly, like, the worst type of, I think, and they're not necessary, like, a lot of times, like, they're moving more away from cervical checks. It basically means, like, they're checking to see if my cervix is soft, because a soft cervix is what you want, like, before you go into labor. But if you have any sort of trauma sexually or anything down there.
Why can't you refuse it then?
Well, I wanted to know.
Yeah.
You know, at this, for that, I wanted to make sure that I wasn't, you know, there wasn't any other signs of early labor. I wanted to rule it out. But sometimes they used to do them a lot when you were in labor. It's like, please don't. And so already I've talked to my doula about, like, limiting them, because it's basically, they have to do it with their hands. But, like, I'm sorry, anybody's fingers are not long enough to, like, go up there. And so it hurts, like, because they're putting a lot of pressure and it's so uncomfortable and you're never in a good position. And I was just like, just get done with this. Mm-hmm. And Josh, because I also had a cervical check at the hospital the couple days before, and he was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
Because, like, he's never seen me, like, jump like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's fine, you know.
Just moving sexual on. Trauma.
Just a little bit of trauma response. But we're fine. We are fine. And it just, you know, it took me getting home to really, like, fully process everything. Because in the moment, you're just, like, you're focused on, like, what issues do I have right now? But, like, for the 2 days after it, I was just, like, all the stuff that could have gone wrong. You know, like, luckily we both were able to, like, walk away immediately and be fine. But I'm like, what would I have done if, like, Josh was knocked out or hurt or seriously injured? And, you know, like, you just, that kind of panic set in, but.
Right. It's hard to not move, to not go there.
Yeah. You know?
But it's also not healthy to go there because that's not the way it happened.
Right.
Right.
Right. But overall, very thankful. Josh was a great partner. It's crazy. It is truly crazy. I really used to worry about that Josh would not be good in a crisis. But 2022 year bullshit really solidified. The man can handle a crisis.
That's great.
It is hard, like, afterwards. Like, I think now is when he's processing a lot of, like, his anger. Like, he's real worried about who the insurance company is putting at fault. Because I've only been dealing with my insurance company, because that's the whole other thing with this car.
Well, because it's usually, like, who hits who.
Right. But I don't know if they care about that. Like, I've heard other people say, like, yeah, my insurance company just handled it.
Yeah.
Because it was quicker.
Right.
But Josh is like, I don't want them thinking that this was your fault. This was her fault. And I'm like, Joshua, calm down.
Handle it in post.
I'm like, it's all right. I'm like, if they try to, like, raise my premiums or something, I'll ask some questions about it. But sure. I'm like,
you can always.
I just need a new car before my GD baby comes, because I'm 34 weeks pregnant, and it's going to take a couple weeks to get this check to pay off the rest of my car loan, then to go car shopping, to figure out all that. I'm like, I'm going to be 36, 37 weeks pregnant by the time I buy another car. Mm-hmm. And that is a little too close for my comfort.
Yeah.
That's a little close for comfort. And I loved my car.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, you don't really need to be going anywhere, too. So it's like, yes, you want it handled before you have the baby, but also, like.
Yeah. I mean, I'll borrow my grandma's car for at least a week or so in the meantime. But, Christmas sucked. You know, I've never held on too closely for Christmas. But when we got home on Christmas Day, I, like, immediately, like, took a shower, nap, and I woke up. And Josh had, like, gone out to, like, what stores were open, I don't know. And, you know, he got a pizza, which, why were they open, too? Like, pizza, he got pizza for us. Open. He got a Christmas pizza.
He got
me a Best Mom Ever mug. Mm. Like, just, like, little things. So I woke up and then we like opened our stockings and did all that. So
cute.
It was sweet, but had to go yesterday, see the carnage again, get all my shit out of my car.
Probably is a lot if you know Rach.
If you know me.
It is a house full of shit.
It is a lot. And I left a lot in there. Because, one, you're packed in there like sardines in this, like, junkyard. Where it's like we can barely, like, get anything out of it anyway. Like, my pregnant ass is, like, horizontal in the back seat trying to, like, dig things out. Like, going through all my different hair clips. If my hair clips were broken, they stayed.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just going to get junked anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably. Yeah, it was so funny on the insurance, when I was talking to insurance people, I, like, had sent pictures, and they put it as a probable total loss or a potential total loss, and then one woman is like, potential? It was like, this thing, she's like, this is done. This is done.
This is toast. This is scrap.
Yeah, totally. So, but, you know.
We're happy you're safe.
Thanks.
That was scary.
So that was a very long story. Maybe I'll cut it down to be more concise. I don't know yet.
No, I feel like it was concise.
Okay.
I think there was a lot of moving parts.
I don't know what time we're running.
Yeah, it's hard to see. I thought you were going to put it on your phone, but.
No.
We're cruising.
We're cruising. How was your holidays? Standard okay.
Obviously, with a lot of the stuff that's going on that I can't fully talk about, it just added a lot of stress and anxiety for me. I'm fine being completely honest. So, yeah, I don't really have
not the best.
And that's okay. Yeah. And honestly, it's hard too, because like I usually do hold out for Christmas, unlike you. I love Christmas. It holds a lot of nostalgia for me. So it was just really different this year. We'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. And it was tough. It was a little hard to navigate for me personally, but I don't know. I am kind of grateful it is over.
Yeah.
I feel like, okay, we're through it. It was a lot of family time and it's just tense. It's tense there right now. But I mean, I am grateful for the time that I spent, but it's just, it was tough. I'm happy it's over. I'm going to Hamilton tonight. And I'm so stoked.
That'll be nice.
I know. I'm very excited. It'll be fun.
I've never made it through Hamilton. I've only been able to watch.
Well, if you're watching a movie, it's a lot. But I think when it's like live entertainment, you're like,
you're there.
And I love it. I mean, I listen to the soundtrack a lot. So nice. I'm like familiar with songs. Both my sisters are going, but my one sister, Kristen, is a huge fan. Her and Joe, like, know every word to every song. So we're putting them next to each other and on the aisle. So you guys can sing to each other while we enjoy. Like, Joe's dead ass being like, how are we not going to stand up and sing along? And I'm like, I don't think the theater respects that.
And I don't think you do. Like, as someone who's, like, loved theater and, like, been to shows.
You don't. But Hamilton is, like, you know the music.
You might be, like.
Yeah.
But you're going to be entranced, hopefully.
Yeah. But, you know, like, the music in Hamilton is, like, you get up and dance. Like, there's some, like, sick beats, you know? Like, it's very catchy shit. So, it's, like, and there's diehards there.
I know my sister like I know my own mind.
It's so good. I'm so excited. So, that's something I have to look forward to, and the new year. Bring in the new year with some change.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm ready for it. I'm moving. I'm getting my own place. Starting a life.
Paying a mortgage.
I don't fucking care about that. I'm ready. Bring it on. Bring on the financial debt.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to talk to my sister's girlfriend, Erin, about my finances, because she's one of those people that loves a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's the ADHD for me that just makes it hard for me to, like, but I got a lot of medical bills, babe. Got a lot of medical bills.
I don't know.
Got a lot of debt.
Once you have the baby, you're not going to be spending shit. You know, you got what you need. The spending is done.
Well, the issue is also just, like, the lack of income, because I'm taking on half
as much work. Well, if you're not spending, the lack of income won't be an issue if you're not spending.
Yeah. Well,
outside of the livelihood of bills and rent, and mortgage and
diapers and
It's a later me problem.
Yeah, hopefully breastfeeding goes well. If you want to wish me one thing, if you want to like pray or give me, I really hope breastfeeding works out, mostly for the financial. Have you looked at how much formula costs these days? Because it is its own grocery bill. It is crazy. So I'm hoping that the boobs work, her mouth works, it all goes well.
We hope that for you in 2023.
Year of change, year of breastfeeding, we hope.
Yes.
But yeah, guys, for today, our episode, we're just going to read some Am I the Asshole Christmas editions. Because yeah. I think a lot of people are on the Reddit. A lot of people are on Reddit looking for advice on some recent family dramas.
And we'll read your family drama. We'll dissect it and we'll tell you if you're the asshole or not.
But also, speaking of family drama, something I've been wanting to bring up. For any of you that are currently with child, might I suggest to you, if you just need a little, hey, my life ain't so bad, a little perspective shift, get on your baby due date Facebook group. I wish I could read some of the advice and rants and vent sessions that go on that page, but I cannot, because that's part of the like group rules, which as it should be. But when I tell you there are people that are like, my boyfriend cheated on me, should I be mad? And there are people that would be like, yeah,
the tea of course. Is piping hot on that page.
Or the psychos that are like, well, have you been putting out? Because men can't be expected to not have sex. And it's just like,
oh,
whoa.
The entertainment factor is high.
Yeah. I sneaky send Jess some of the juiciest, craziest, just the...
It is mind-boggling. Like, my jaw drops and I'm like, these people can't be for real, for real.
They are for real, for real. And yeah. It's also like, it's a great supportive group, like, you know.
It has its benefits, but it also has its fucking tea.
And when I tell you... I never, like, all the timers on apps, I run out of my Facebook time, which was usually
remind
20.
Me tomorrow,
yeah,
bitch.
Remind me tomorrow.
Remind me tomorrow, bitch. I'm doing February babies. In the beginning, I was like, oh, okay, I'm out. But now I see it as like an irritating notification that I just have to get rid of.
Yeah.
It doesn't even register to me that it's saying, like, you're out of time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I need to get back in. I have no idea what you're saying. I just need to get back in.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even doing its job anymore, so I probably need to get rid of it.
Just get rid of it. You're on for when you're on.
That's it. I don't need to be told
I'm
when
on
to get
the media
off.
That I'm on.
What are you, my parent? No. Get the fuck out of here.
But man, I wish I could do some Am I the Assholes from that group.
I know. I wish we could too.
Oh my God. It would be amazing. Will you grab my water bottle?
Yes. What happened to your old one?
I still have it, but I just, this one is more enjoyable to drink out of.
Okay.
I had to up my water intake, so I needed a little motivation.
Oh, okay. You need something cute to drink out of, you mean.
I was like, I need a little treat. A little water treat. And also, guys, a little water treat. I decided that, like, you need to be very hydrated during pregnancy. And I haven't been doing so good since it got a little colder out. Mm-hmm. Because my only pregnancy craving that I've had consistently is ice water.
Really?
I don't know if it's like my body's like, you're hot inside, get this ice water. But I used to never put ice in my water bottles, ever.
You couldn't catch me.
No, but now it's like ice cold.
That's funny.
So it's like, it's harder for me to drink, but.
You love it.
I wanted to like start putting in some liquid IVs just for some extra, you know, electrolytes. Making.
Sure.
Why is that shit so expensive?
Oh,
it's like $2 a packet.
I guess I've never really noticed.
Yeah, it's like you only need it when you're hungover normally.
Right, so you're just like, get me to health.
Right.
Right, so you're not thinking, but when
you're not thinking about the costs.
Right.
But, Lord. Bob, do you want to go first? Do you want to go?
I don't want to go first. Okay, I mean, I can.
Okay. No pressure. Again, I need to reiterate, we do not know these people. These are strangers on Reddit.
Yeah. I've also been reading out loud a lot lately.
Okay.
And I'm comfortable with it, always have been, but like we've been playing.
I'm going to move this hair out of the way of your mic.
We've been playing like hella games, mm-hmm. and we play like intense games. Oh, this is fun fact. We've been doing a lot of games, which is
I've seen. You're a game gal.
I'm a game gal.
Board game gal.
Yeah. And we... discovered these escape room games. They're called Exit the Game. And it's, if you've ever been to an escape room, it's very similar, but in a board game form. And it's very cool. So if you are game humans, I would highly suggest this. We had a lot of fun. We all played on Christmas Day. Our whole family got into it. I only get into it to an extent, and I like to, like, watch from afar.
Right.
Because I have, like, I have gum shoes in the family, you know?
Gum shoes?
Yeah, it's like a term for, like, a rookie detective. You ever play Carmen, Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
No.
Anywho, yeah. You know, like, Joe's a criminal attorney, and, right. You know, Britt loves that shit, so they like to take over. Okay. Am I the asshole? My husband's family likes to drink. Every holiday includes multiple bottles of wine, cocktails. I hate drinking and I never have drank. My father was an alcoholic. I think it's childish if you can't have fun without drinking. This year I'm hosting Christmas for change. I decided since it's at my house, no alcohol allowed, and we are getting older and it's time to grow up. My husband's sister called to ask what she should bring. She saw a recipe for Christmas martini that she wanted to bring. I told her that my no alcohol rule. She didn't say much, but must have told the rest of the family. Some of them started texting me asking if I was serious and saying it was lame, but I'm not budging. Now it turns out that my husband's sister is hosting an alternate gathering that almost everyone is choosing to go to instead. It's so disrespectful all. Yeah, it's so just all because they would have to spend one day sober. My husband told me he talked to his sister and we are invited to her gathering. And he said we should just go and stop causing issues. But I won't. It's so rude. Now husband is mad because I'm making him stay home and spend Christmas with me. But it was my turn to host, and I chose to have a no alcohol. They could have dealt with it for 1 year. Am I the asshole?
That's a tough one.
Because I feel like just because you don't want it, don't have respect for other people who do.
I feel like if you're the one with the alcohol problem, it's very different.
But you're choosing to control everyone else at your party, which I kind of would vote asshole.
Right. Like, and she's not saying that these people are alcoholics and get out of line. They just like
a drink or
drink.
Two. And like the sister wanting to make a martini. Like that is her fun way of like bringing something to the party.
Right.
Like that's fun for her. And you would be taking that away.
Yeah. I'm going to go in to say wet blanket. A little bit of a wet blanket.
Wait, what's a wet blanket?
Yes. Do you like a wet blanket?
No.
You'd never want a wet blanket.
No.
And so it just means like you're party pooper.
Got it. Okay. Big wet blanket energy for sure.
Yeah. Big wet blanket energy. And it's like, I get that like to a certain extent, it's like your house, your rules. But she didn't say like there'll be kids around. She's like, there is not really a reason other than I don't want it.
Right. Right.
Which is like, that's childish.
A little bit. Like you could even have like limited the amount of alcohol you'd be serving.
Yeah, like or say, like, can we have a fun mocktail as well for
sure,
me?
Sure,
because I don't drink.
Yeah, just because you do doesn't mean no one else can.
Right. But again, this
is so different if... If you were an alcoholic,
yes,
and you struggled with other people around you.
Oh, guys, Cher's on the line. Cher's calling. Hello, Mom.
Hello, Rachel.
You're on the pod.
I'm on the pod.
What do you need?
I was just wondering what you were up to today. So you're doing the pod?
I'm doing the pod.
Until?
I have to go to my doctor's appointment at 2.
Okay.
All right. And then after that, Josh and I have our meeting with our doula at 7. But in between 3 and 6, I have more availability.
Okay. Well, I want to make an appointment with you to transfer like clothing.
Oh.
Perhaps do a little work with it.
Oh. So, listeners, for those of you that need to know, during mine and Josh's stay in the hospital, my mom came and kidnapped all of the clothes in our laundry and downstairs.
She did laundry for you?
But took it to her house.
Yeah.
And so, but now she...
That's Willow.
That's my Willow. Sorry, podcasters.
But okay, I'll call you back after I'm done with the pod, okay?
All right.
Love you, Cher.
Bye, Cher.
Love you, Josh.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh yeah, Cher stole all my laundry.
That's how nice.
We had to call and we had to be like, hey, can we have some? Because we're at Undies.
That's so nice of her, though.
I know. She's a helpful little quang bane. But okay. Now she wants us to have a laundry system that she...
Okay. Helpful.
Helpful. But will I ever follow a laundry system? No. Was laundry in my wedding vows? And I... Yeah, it was. But I... Hey, it didn't make it in the wedding film. So that's all that's...
So they didn't count?
Didn't count.
Okay. You're up, Rach.
All right. Oh, my God. Okay. All right. Am I the asshole for not wanting to go to family Christmas? This year, my husband and I let our in-laws know that we wanted to host Christmas at our new home, as it has ample room and a dining area. We love his parents, but they are bordering on being hoarders, and there's very limited space in their home. I recall 2 years ago using a chair to hold the appetizers. So, yes, I would like to host in our home. His parents said yes around Thanksgiving, and that was it. Until about a week before Christmas, when I was told by my sister that my sister-in-law wants to do Christmas at her parents' house. She lives with them. She never comes when invited to our home or out to dinners. Everything always on her terms. So my sister-in-law insists and always gets her way. Great, except for my husband and I said we would not be joining the 25th, but would love to have them over to our home the 24th and can do dinner. My mother-in-law and father-in-law joined us, and we had a wonderful day together. On Christmas Day, my husband gets a text from sister-in-law with a rude message saying that this is your wife's idea to not have Christmas together, that he only does what I tell him, and that the 25th is a family day and he should be there, and that me changing things is a fuck you to his parents. My husband was very polite to her and kept saying he was the one to make the decision, which is kind of true. She did not believe him and kept saying disparaging things about me. Am I the asshole for ruining Christmas Day, their family day?
I'm going to vote no. If you're uncomfortable and it's like borderline, it is hoarding. Like that's not, it's not comfortable. And it's low-key a health risk.
Also, it's like you had her in-laws over on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And they all had good time. So.
I don't.
Ain't no thing.
I feel like it was just setting a boundary.
Yeah,
and like also, it was like, we're going to do something else. Also, you're starting a new family. You're allowed to start new traditions.
Yeah. And from what, like, I've read on Reddit and just, like, other people, like, some people put a lot on Christmas in a way that, like, I never have. Like, just, like, spending multiple days together all the time. It's like, nobody likes each other that much.
Right.
Nobody needs that kind of time to be together.
No.
And also, what I think is crazy out of pocket, which will be, you know, the more Am I the Assholes I've ever read, some people just be saying the most.
Doing the most. Saying the most.
Just.
But it's like sometimes when you're reading Am I the Asshole on Reddit, it's like, yes, you're just complaining and like you're annoying. You know, it's hard to find some good ones lately because it's like if you have to ask, you kind of are a little bit lately.
Yeah.
That's how I feel. If you have to ask. Yeah, I feel like you know kind of that. There are some dilemmas, which I'm like. And most of these are, especially around the holiday ones, are really, like, boundary setting. Am I the asshole, like, because I want to do something different, or I'm stepping out, or there's family conflict. And it's like, no, families are fucking, like, they're just complicated.
They're the worst.
And you just, and you're setting a boundary, and you're asking if you're an asshole, because it feels hard, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Boundaries are hard.
Yeah, they are.
But they're worth it.
I have a lengthy one, but the title kind of hooked me.
Okay.
So if I can paraphrase, I might, but...
Go for it, Jess.
I don't really know.
Just read it. Read it in your best gumshoe way.
I mean, I am a gumshoe.
Put on them gumshoes.
Okay. My brother James has a girlfriend, Lindsay, who has been dating for 7 months. He decided to bring her to Christmas at my house, stay over Christmas Eve, and leave the next day after lunch. I'd met Lindsay at drinks before this, and she seemed nice. When they arrived, Lindsay walked in, complimented my decorations, large tree in the foyer, and asked how much they cost. I was a bit surprised by the question, but I just said, more than I'd like, and moved on. Throughout the evening, she asked several questions centered around money. She asked my husband how much he paid for our house, my stepdad how much money he had made in his previous job, how much my watch cost. She even Googled one of our art pieces to see how much it sold for and started talking about how crazy it was that we spent that much, which frankly was very uncomfortable. My stepdad pulled my brother aside and asked if there was a problem, but my brother just said it was normal for her to do that, and he did say he'd speak to her about it. On Christmas morning, we all gathered round open presence, and thankfully Lindsay didn't say anything. So I figured James had spoken to her about her intrusive questions. However, at lunch, we were talking about plans for January, and Lindsay loudly said she didn't know how we could afford to do anything in January as she added up the total we spent on gifts and then proudly proclaimed the total amount. The whole table went silent. And honestly, I was equal parts shocked and annoyed that someone could be so ignorant.
This girl has got some financial trauma.
Oh, for something. Sure. I looked at Lindsay and said, "You are the world's most diligent gold digger. Seriously, would you like to be the family accountant since you're already tracking expenses?" Lindsay stuttered out an apology and tried to explain, but my stepdad just changed the conversation and we moved on. She was mercifully quiet the rest of the dinner. After they left, my brother messaged me saying I'd really upset Lindsay and she was out of line with that, with what I said, that I was out of line. With what I said, I argued that he had said he talked to her and clearly didn't. Not that someone should have needed guidance to know how crass her comments were. He is saying, "I owe both of them an apology, but I think Lindsay's behavior was disgraceful. My parents say Lindsay was wrong, but I probably should have said something in private, or they could have. I shouldn't have said something in front of anyone, of everyone. Am I the asshole?"
No.
No.
Hell no.
We love a little drama.
And it sounds like you were just like at your wit's end. Mm-hmm. Like,
you've done it so many times that it's like, that's fucking also funny to be that quick-witted. So I say props to her to be funny. Like, do you want to be the family's accountant since you're already tracking our expenses? I get it, though. Like, some people are more comfortable talking about money. Like, my sister Britt says, like, she says she thinks it's fine talking about people's salaries.
Yeah.
She says, like, I feel like that's normal. I think we should talk about that more.
Yes, I agree with that. But, like, asking how much, like, a Christmas tree cost, read the room.
Yeah.
Like, if you ask, like, 1 to 2 money questions.
If someone said that and I didn't really know them, I'm like, oh, she's nervous. She didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
And I would have been blown it off. Yeah, whatever. But, like, looking shit up, do that on your own and not tell anyone about it. No, because, like, you can be nosy.
Tell your boyfriend about it. Like,
you can be nosy and that's fine.
We are all nosy.
Yeah. So I, like, when she was doing it, I was like, okay, like, I understand where it's coming from, but also why do you care? But also, like, I get it.
Like, how many times have I shot a wedding and, you know, the getting ready is at someone's parents' house?
Oh.
And
I
look up the Zillow.
Oh, absolutely. I'm like, what?
We bought this in 95 and it's worth, I'm like,
oh, yeah, rolling. Yeah, it's fun. But it's like, you just don't do it outwardly.
No.
Oh my gosh, that was a good one.
That is a really good one. And no, you're not the asshole. You're just hilarious.
Yeah, you're actually very funny.
That was a good one.
And it's also, you don't know her that well. So like, get the fuck out.
The first family holiday?
Dude, the fact that she added up the whole Christmas.
Like, that's out of pocket.
That is out of pocket.
That is out of pocket. And that's funny.
And it's, I want to be her friend so that she could text me that number and be like, bro, right, this is how much. She must be a finance girl, though.
Or just, like, didn't grow up with much and, you know, like,
it's just
a scarcity mindset.
Sure,
shocking going into families with money, which it is.
Yeah.
It is shocking. Like,
yeah.
But
I don't think you announce it to the family who has said money. Right. They know they have the money. You don't have to remind them.
Right.
Okay.
I thought this one was good. A lot of in-law stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Am I the asshole for not giving my mother-in-law her choice of clothes when hers got wet on Christmas, causing a bunch of family drama?
What blanket?
We hosted Christmas on Sunday, and my husband's family is still fighting over this. Mother-in-law is a lot. She does whatever she wants, rules for other people, not her, and she has never liked me. We just moved into a house with a lake behind it, and mother-in-law found a pair of ice skates at our house. I told her not to go on the ice, but her husband and my dad both told her that I don't know what I was talking about, and she would be fine. Well, surprise, surprise, she fell through the ice, but thankfully she wasn't deep at all and could easily get out. Her clothes were soaked and unwearable, so everyone just assumed I'd give her something, which was annoying, to be honest. She never has been very nice to me, and my husband has clothes that she can wear. I didn't want to give her anything expensive or anything I was attached to, but I also didn't want to give her anything at all form-fitting because she's a lot smaller than me and would love to gloat about how they were too big.
Ugh. Trauma.
Yeah.
No.
I offered a pair of footy pajamas with a bunny tail, worn, meant to be baggy, and I only bought them for Halloween, and it would be said if she lost or ruined them. Mother-in-law refused and demanded I let her go through my drawer. I told her it was the pajamas where she could put her wet clothes back on. At this point, she still refused, and a few other family members began berating me, saying I was being cruel. I'm possessive of my clothes, and it's such a personal thing to me. Mother-in-law said she'd go home in the wet clothes, which was ridiculous. It was freezing out, and she weighs maybe 110 pounds, so she struggles to stay warm anyway. Her husband ended up having a pair of sweats in his car, and her sister gave her a bathrobe that she'd gotten for Christmas. Mother-in-law refused to speak to me or my husband the rest of the night, and I've been called an evil bitch by multiple people. Mother-in-law's mom and sister won't even talk to me. My husband says I was really cruel, and he gets that she isn't easy to deal with, but he's ashamed of how I behaved.
Yes, you're the asshole. Yeah. I'm sorry. That is shitty.
But here's the thing. There are some things like, yeah, you are the asshole in this situation, but that's fine.
Yeah.
That's
and you,
all right.
You can be the asshole and own it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, you had all the, it was at her house, right? So she had just a room full of clothes.
Yeah, she had a room full of clothes that she didn't.
Yeah.
The bunny pajamas for me is the wild. Like, you didn't even go through and, like, try to find, like,
you tried to embarrass her.
You didn't remotely care about. You right. went through and you were like, here's what's the one option I'm giving you.
A Halloween costume.
Is a Halloween costume.
And that's all.
Take it or leave it, bitch.
Yeah. That is funny.
But.
But yeah, you're the asshole.
Yeah, yeah. But.
And own it.
It's all right.
And I think you already are owning it.
Yeah.
You knew.
Am I the asshole? Who's going to be like, no?
Because here's the thing.
She had what? I mean, she was doing dumb bitch stuff. She was walking on ice. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
It's her fault. But also, it's like, you would have had so much less tension and stress had you have just been like,
giving her clothes.
Here's a pair of leggings. Here's a shirt. But I know that. You felt like you were walking into, like, being body shamed, which is never
sure.
good. So
that's the worst. Like, this is so baggy. All my friends did that to me in school. Believe me.
Hey, what about your sister being like, Rachel, you can't wear my clothes. You're going to stretch them out.
Oh, yes.
And then she'd say, literally, I was taller. And I'm like.
No, mine wasn't even because I was taller. Britt would say that shit to me all the time.
Do you want to know, like, the.
She still does.
The extreme cases that I went through to, like, wear Laura's clothes. Is I'd wear her shoes, even though my feet were two sizes larger. And now, like, I've got long toe syndrome. The joints in my toes...
You have a bunion.
...are fused. So, like, my toes are permanently cricked. Because...
Oh, my God.
I would wear her, like, size 7 Converse.
Oh, my God.
Just crunched up in there.
Yeah, I did that for a few years because I was like, I am an 8. I'm a 9.
I'm a 9.5, 10. And that's on that. That's on that.
And that's on Big Feet.
That's on Big Feet Brigade.
Big Feet Brigade. Big Foot Brigade. Okay, I do have these. Greatest hacks.
Greatest hacks?
We'll whip through them.
Okay.
This is just greatest hacks, guys. As we enter into the new year, as we're making our lists, I thought this was a little piece of positive advice.
Okay.
So this is the greatest hacks in the world, in parentheses, for now, by the New York Times. Just released this. Okay, first one is the biggest lie we tell ourselves is, I don't need to write this down because I will remember it. And that's facts, you guys. The best thing I did for myself, not this year, but just in general, is make a passwords note. Mm. All your passwords should go in one place. If you haven't done this already, also just write it down. Write it in a notes app. Notes app really has come in clutch for me. So that's your first hack. Second hack is denying or deflecting a compliment is rude. Accept it with thanks. And we need to work on this.
We
really do. It is kind of rude.
I know.
And it makes the other person who gave you the compliment feel very uncomfortable. Uncomfortable.
I apologize to all past clients that send me nice texts about how much they love their photos or videos. And I'm just like.
Just heart it, Rach. Accept it with thanks. You worked hard on it. Except that's what I need. And you admitted we like that. We need that. If you don't text us that.
I need it. Don't get me wrong. I need it. I don't know what to say back.
That's okay. We can just work on it. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you love them.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. And you don't even have to mean it, but just. And it's like personal stuff too. If someone's like, oh, you look really. This is one I always do. Someone's like, oh my God, your hair looks so good. I'm like, good. It's the first time I washed it in a week. Just say thanks, Jess.
Yeah.
I know. I just want to work on it. Because I'd be like, thank you. I do feel good today. That'd be nice. Then you know you made him feel good. Okay, here's another one. Always make the call. If you're disturbed or confused by something somebody did, always pick up the phone. in my case, text them, but wouldn't be picking up or making a call, but I would maybe confront that person.
Okay.
Something new.
If you were disturbed.
Yeah. If you were disturbed or confused by something somebody did. Like if you're, yeah.
Okay. Like call if you it were, out when you, as you see it.
Yeah. Call it as like, hey, something fell off there. We good?
Right.
You know, never right. leave it up to your own intrusive thoughts, because we know that won't end well.
True.
If you can't make up your mind between two options, flip a coin. I actually do this.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. Because people say this, don't decide based on which side of the coin came up. Decide based on your emotional reaction to what Ooh. Side came up. Someone says flip the coin and you'll know in the air which one you want it to be. Because you're like, oh, I wish it would land on heads for that option.
Don't you feel like that's tricking yourself?
I like that, though. Because sometimes if I can't make decisions, it's like I know which one I was leaning towards in that moment of the flip. If you're traveling in a place you've never been before, listen to an album you've never heard before. Forever that after that music will remind you of that place.
Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah.
That's a main character energy.
Or that boyfriend, girlfriend, partner.
Oh, believe
so that
me.
Can ruin
I love that, though. I like to listen back to the Phrase album.
We know Ben Howard's off limits for me.
The Fray, man. Sometimes I'll put it on just to feel something. Just to feel something. Okay. Something does not need to be perfect to be wonderful, especially weddings. I thought this was good.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which we preach, but I just wanted a little reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Queenie!
Also, something I did want to say about weddings. If you have gotten engaged in this holiday season or will be getting engaged, guys, it's okay to just be engaged for a minute. You don't have to put the pedal to the metal all the time with wedding planning.
Dude, someone said something like they got engaged over Christmas and the next day they're emailing vendors.
I'm like, chill! Just enjoy it.
I know. It's like you don't have to ruin the engagement by wedding planning.
No.
Tip of the dick for you. These are all great tips of the dick. Okay. Here's one. Take photos of things your parents do every day. That's how you want to remember them. Take photos of your parents in general. Videos. Just in general is a little top tip for you. If you have good relationships with them.
Right.
And then last that I thought was good. If you're giving a speech, this could be pertaining to weddings too. If you're giving a speech, be vulnerable. Fall on the audience members and let them catch you. They will.
Aww.
Just a little tip of the dick. We should have put that in for our speech giving.
Yeah.
But if you're part of a wedding, giving a speech at a wedding, vulnerability is a great
yes
place to start, because that's how people can feel that emotion. Mm-hmm. Instead of never when I ever thought.
Right. And I guess I love speeches for so many reasons. It's why I became so passionate about videography. But I love them because when they're done well, people use it as an opportunity to say things that they would never say to you.
Especially males.
Yes.
It's something their best friend, best man never says.
Yeah.
And
Like I recently did a wedding where it was like, you know, he did the typical like funny roast, and then the groom's dad had passed away like several years ago, but they'd been friends in high school, and you know, he took the time to say like, you know, talk about his dad and like all the characteristics of his dad that he's seen like the groom grow into.
That's so
sweet. And he's
sweet.
Like, I know you don't like thinking about this and like that's really hard, but I want you, and it's just like goosebumps. Like
yeah. And he never would have said that in casual conversation. There's no space for it.
Why would it be appropriate to say it over wings of B-dubs? It's just
right.
not.
Right.
Love speeches.
Yeah. So do I.
Get the videographer, people, or else I'm gonna beat you up.
Right. Okay, guys. I hope you enjoyed that hodgepodge episode.
We hope you had a very much better Christmas than we did.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
So,
we
happy
do.
Honda days.
And happy Toyota-thon.
Merry Chrysler.
Merry Christmas. And next week we'll see you with the New Year's episode. Honestly, guys, enjoy your New Year's. We'll talk to you guys in the new year. So be safe out there. Get the Uber.
Yeah. Jerry, you better be healthy. I need you on New Year's Eve.
We need you on New Year's Eve because I will do something I hate doing, and that's working on New Year's Eve. So Jerry, get better soon. We'll be seeing you guys in the new year. We love you so much. This is For Better and Worse Podcast. I'm Jess.
I'm Rach.
And we out of here. Woohoo!